and Merry Christmas. As we celebrate our first Sunday in Christmas, I wanted to say how much we're grateful to have you here. Welcome, regardless of what the reason is you're here today. If you're just here to sit back, relax, and enjoy some worship, then you're in the right spot. And no matter how long you've been here, again, we're grateful that you found your way to this worshiping community. Because you can see we're a little bit light today, but people are away enjoying their time with their friends and their family, so we're glad you're part of our church family here today. There's a tremendous amount of information available to you on our church website, in your bulletin, in your harbinger, and there's an information rack outside the worship center, so please make yourself available to those resources. And also during our time of offering this morning, if you would pass the hospitality register, sign your name and any comments you might have, pass it along, and take a look. And if there's somebody on there that you don't recognize, take a look at their name and introduce yourself to them at some time before, during, or after the worship service today. That's how we get to know each other a little bit better. If you have any questions or concerns this morning, Elder Ann Marie Sim will be at the communion table after worship to receive your comments and questions. So please stop by and say hello to Ann Marie as you wish to. And this morning, believe it or not, there was only one announcement. The sheet was empty until just a few minutes ago. And the one announcement is that the offering giving envelopes are now available to you out on the table. So if you are folks that do get envelopes, feel free to pick them up on your way out this morning. And they will be there, I'm sure, for several weeks for those to pick up envelopes that wish to. So is there anybody else that had anything to share at this time? Okay, if not, then it is again our pleasure to welcome back Reverend Carolyn Grohman. Carolyn has graced our presence with leading worship, not only Christmas Eve recently, but this morning, and she will continue to be one of our guest pastors going forward. So, Carolyn, thank you so much for filling in during our time of transition. Now, let us take a moment as we prepare our hearts, our minds, and our entire beings to worship our great God together.
Please stand if you are able and join me for the call to worship. Praise God, all who dwell on this earth. Praise God in the heights and depths of life.
We will renown the deeds of God. Surely
God's name be praised and exalted. God's glory is above heaven and earth.
If we say we do not sin, we deceive ourselves and we are not being honest. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and merciful, will forgive us all our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray together our prayer of confession. O God, we have been so busy with things that do not satisfy. We have tried to fill our emptiness with activities and possessions that drain our energies rather than give life meaning. We do not know how to live, and we are afraid to die. We excuse our own sin at the same time that we deplore the abuse and violence we see in others. We deny the witness of the one who shared our common lot, for we are not willing to take the risks of genuine love. O God, save us from ourselves. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Friends, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And I invite the children to come up for the thoughts for children. So, Merry Christmas to all of you. Did you have a good Christmas? Did you get some presents that you really wanted to get? A tow truck. Wow. You didn't have one. Wow, that sounds wonderful. Did you know that Christmas is still going on? We're not finished with Christmas. Christmas is not just one day, or even Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, 2 days. Christmas is 12 days. Ah, yes. So we are celebrating Christmas today. We are singing Christmas carols. We are talking about Christmas because Christmas goes on until the 6th of January. Yes. You wanted... Last week, when you were part of the Christmas pageant, were all of you part of that? You may remember that you sang a Christmas carol, well, we all did, called Go Tell It on the Mountain. Do you know that carol? I want to read you the verses of that carol and ask all of us to sing the refrain, the chorus. I think you all know it. If you can get where you can see the book, see the pictures. Okay. Yes. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. So, while shepherds kept their watching or silent flocks by night, and you can see the shepherds here with their sheep, and it was night, it was dark, there were stars in the sky. Behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. There are the shepherds looking at the light and the sheep. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And you see the shepherds there and the sheep. Well, we haven't gotten there yet. You will see it. The shepherds feared and trembled. You see them kneeling there. They don't know what to make of this bright star in the sky. Even some of the sheep look a little bit frightened. The shepherds feared and trembled when lo, above the earth rang out the angel chorus, told of our Savior's birth. And see the angels there, and the shepherds are looking. Even some of the sheep are looking. Go tell the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds now are starting to go and tell people what they have seen, that they saw a bright star, they saw angels in the sky. So they're starting to go and tell. Down in a lowly manger, here's the manger. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And the shepherds are on their way to go and see. See the manger. There. And God sent us salvation on that first Christmas morn.
Here's the manger again. The shepherds have now come. Other folks have come. The sheep have come. All to look at the baby Jesus in the manger. So we are singing to go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And the shepherds are going. They are leaving the manger scene and they are going and they are telling people what they have seen. And there are people who are listening. And as I waited for Christmas to celebrate Christ's birth, you see there's a girl and a boy and a Christmas tree in their house, and they have a manger scene, a creche. Did you have a manger scene in your house? A creche? That you can look at the baby Jesus? So they waited for Christmas to celebrate Jesus' birth. I want to share the good news with everyone on earth. There they are with their family. They are sharing the good news. Go tell it on the mountain, over. And there are lots of people that are telling. See, they have their hands up like this. They are sharing the good news. There are lots of people listening in the windows, all around, even the animals. So there are lots of people telling the good news. There are lots of people listening. So I wanted to ask you what you can do to share the good news of Jesus' birth. We celebrated Christmas, the birth of Jesus. But then we need to do more than that. We need to tell other folks. Maybe, yes, we need to be able to share with people. One thing that you might be able to do, I think there are some people in this church who might be lonely. Maybe they live alone. Maybe they are older and lonely. You might be able to share the good news with them by being their friend, by maybe making a card and sending it to them, or going to visit them to say you wanted to share this good news with them. And I encourage you to share with your families some other things you might be able to do to share the good news that all of us can go and tell as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. So would you pray with me? Repeat after me. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
For sending us Jesus. Help us to go and share that good news with others. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming up, all of you.
The first reading of the word comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he had sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he had made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene.
Once in all your day, he visits.
Our second reading is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 63, beginning with verse 7. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them, according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Some of you may either send or receive Christmas letters, which highlight the family's activities during the past year. I receive a bunch of letters like that each year, and I've been sending Christmas letters like that to out-of-town friends for over 50 years. In addition to wishing the recipient a Merry Christmas, a family newsletter sent near the end of the calendar year offers the opportunity to look back and to give thanks to God for God's gracious deeds during the past year. Our scripture lesson from Isaiah does just that. It looks back and recounts the gracious deeds of God. This is a particularly appropriate text as we near the end of the year and reflect on this year that we are leaving. The Hebrew people to whom this passage was originally written were either the exiles living in Babylon following the destruction of Jerusalem, or else those who had been left behind in the ruins of that city. Clearly, either situation was one of devastation and loss. What could there possibly be to thank God for in such a time as that? And yet, the author of Isaiah 63, in his family newsletter at the end of the year, remembers God's mercy and recounts God's gracious deeds. Even in the midst of loss and destruction and suffering, he looks back and sees the many ways in which God has helped him and others. He says, I will recount the gracious deeds of God, the praiseworthy acts of God, because of all that God has done for us and the great favor to the house of Israel that God has shown them according to God's mercy, according to the abundance of God's steadfast love. Now, it may seem a bit strange for this poet to talk about the great favor that God had shown to the house of Israel when, in fact, God had allowed them to suffer defeat at the hands of the Babylonians and to be carried off in exile to Babylon. We need to remember, however, that the Old Testament prophets always viewed the destruction of Jerusalem as punishment for the people's unfaithfulness to God. Thus, the author of Isaiah 63 would see the exile in Babylon as deserved punishment. What is amazing, though,
is that this poet sees so clearly the gracious love of God shining through the dark clouds of suffering and loss. The poet uses a crescendo of words to describe God's love for the people. Gracious deeds, praiseworthy acts, great favor, mercy, abundance of steadfast love. God's people, for whom God became their Savior in all their distress. God's presence that saved them. God's love and pity in which God redeemed them. And God's being like a loving parent who lifted the children up and carried them. Two of the Hebrew words in this list are particularly important in helping us to understand God's relationship to the people of Israel and also to us. The first word is hesed, which is translated gracious deeds in the first part of verse 7 and steadfast love in the last part of that verse. Hesed is a wonderful Hebrew word that refers to God's loyalty and faithfulness to the covenant that God had made with the people of Israel. Even though the people had been unfaithful to God and had broken their part of the covenant, God remained faithful and loyal to the covenant that God had made with them. God loved them with a steadfast love, a love that never wavered. As Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann says, this was how God was known in Israel. God was not known primarily in God's power or in God's demands or in God's perfection, but as utterly faithful. The word hesed communicates that steadfast faithfulness. The second word that is important in helping us to understand God's relationship to the people is rehem, which is translated mercy. Walter Brueggemann observes that rehem refers to specific acts of care. The term suggests mothering concern, tenderness, and gentleness. Brueggemann is following the lead of John Calvin when he talks about God's mothering care. John Calvin, the father of Presbyterianism, points out in his commentary on Isaiah back in the 1500s that in this passage, God is compared to a mother who carries in the womb, bears, nurtures, guards, and keeps. Rehem, which literally means womb, describes the mother love of God. These two Hebrew words, hesed and rehem, explain why the author of Isaiah 63 could be so thankful to God even in the midst of loss and suffering. Hesed says that God is always faithful, even when we are unfaithful, even when we are so stressed out that we forget about God, God does not forget about us. And even if we desert God, God never deserts us. Rehem tells us that God cares for us as a loving mother cares for her child. Rehem proclaims the good news that even when we suffer loss or hardship or difficulties, God is always present with us, loving us and caring for us. Even when we lose our job, or we don't have enough money to retire, or the test results come back positive for cancer, God is present with us, holding us tenderly in the warmth and security of God's loving arms. Even when a beloved family member dies just before Christmas. God is there with us, comforting us and wiping away our tears. Even when we ourselves walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is there with us, lifting us up gently and carrying us from this life to the next. Even when terrorists fly jetliners into skyscrapers, God is there in the midst of the horror and the suffering, holding the dying people in God's loving embrace. Even when a crazed gunman kills worshipers in a synagogue, or shoppers in a mall, or children in a school, God is there in the midst of the suffering and the chaos, weeping with those who weep. These 21st century massacres are somewhat reminiscent of the massacre of the infants retold in our gospel lesson for today. Matthew describes the horror of that first massacre when Herod ordered the death of all children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years of age or under. In painting a picture of utter devastation and grief, Matthew quotes a verse from Jeremiah chapter 31. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. Scenes like that are seen on television whenever there is a mass shooting in this country. Mothers weeping for those that are lost. And on 9/11, we saw and heard on television mothers weeping and wailing for their grown children who worked in the World Trade Center towers. Some of you may have seen the Broadway musical Come From Away when it was in Rochester a few weeks ago. It tells the true story of 38 planes carrying thousands of passengers that were diverted to Gander, Newfoundland on 9/11 when American airspace was closed. If you have seen the musical or have read the book, you may remember that one of the stranded passengers was a mother whose son was a firefighter in New York City. She was frantic to find out if her son was okay, but eventually she learned that he had been killed, and she wailed and wept at the news, like Rachel weeping for her children. And God wept with her, as God weeps with all of God's children. The original verse from Jeremiah about Rachel weeping for her children that Matthew quotes refers to the devastation of Jerusalem and the exile in Babylon. But the very next two verses in Jeremiah offer a word of hope. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For there is a reward for your work, says the Lord. There is hope for your future, says the Lord. There is hope for our future, no matter how many losses we may have suffered during the past year. Hope, because God has promised to be with us. Hope, because God sent God's Son, Jesus, to be Emmanuel, God with us. Hope, because Jesus grew up and gave his life so that we might live. Hope, because the Holy Spirit can and does bring about change. So, because of God's faithful and steadfast love,
and because God cares for us as a loving mother and father. We can join with Jeremiah and with the author of Isaiah 63 in recounting God's gracious deeds as we look back over the past year. As we enter a new year, let us remember the many ways in which God has cared for us in the past, and know that God will continue to care for us with steadfast love and faithfulness throughout the coming year. Let us pray. Gracious God, in your mothering care, you share and bear the pain of all who grieve for lost loved ones and all who suffer any kind of loss. Go with us through this coming year that we may be sustained by your tender, loving care. Amen.
Thank you.
As we come to our time of prayer, I would invite you to share any joys or concerns that you might have.
Good morning, Barb Snaith. I don't know if anybody, I think most of you know, I grant wishes for Make-A-Wish. I started back in April. And my third wish kid, as I call them, was in the hospital just before Christmas. And she just came home yesterday. Her name is Riley. She's 4 and a half. And I just would like to ask prayers for this poor little girl. I'm hoping that I'm going to be granting a wish for her. Going to Disney, she loves the characters in Frozen, but she has a lot of health issues. So I'd like prayers for Riley. She's a sweet girl. I met her about 3 weeks ago. She lives in North Chilai. So prayers for Riley. Thank you.
Good morning. I'd like to ask that we keep our Jewish siblings in our prayers. Last night there was an attack at an Orthodox rabbi's home near New York City where someone with a machete came in and stabbed 5 people. And during this celebration of Hanukkah, no less than 8 attacks have been made on the Orthodox and Hasidic Jewish community in New York City. And I know the rabbi in the town where I am a pastor in Massachusetts, they had to put new security doors on their temple because all of our Jewish siblings are really living with an increased sense of terror in this time. And so I just ask that we keep all of our siblings in faith, Jewish, Muslim, and all other faiths in our prayers because I think that they're all feeling a tremendous amount of fear and anxiety with the increased amount of attacks that have been happening in our country.
Paula Souza, you may recall that my brother-in-law suffered a brain aneurysm in November. Well, he's now in rehab in Monroe County Hospital, and I have all the hope that we're going to get him back because he has very cognitive moments where he knows us and knows different things. So he's in a good place, and I just ask for continued prayers for Gary.
I would ask that you continue to be in prayer for the Reverend Gene Fowler, the husband of our presbytery leader, Reverend Amy Fowler. Gene was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and at following surgery is now having both chemo and radiation treatment. Amy is having a really hard time, obviously, both of them. So we in the presbytery would appreciate your prayers, your ongoing prayers for both of them. Other concerns? Then let us join together in prayer. O God of Christmas, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to become the Word made flesh. We thank you that you are still God with us, even though the carols have been sung, the candles have been extinguished, the presents have been opened, the dinner has been eaten, the needles are falling from the tree, and we are about to enter a new year. Help us to remember the song of the angels and the wonder of the shepherds as we leave this Christmas season behind us and move into the future. O God of the new year, we thank you that you make all things new. Because you are a God of love, you forgive all the mistakes of the past. Because you are a God of hope, you create all the possibilities of the future. We come to you with old fears and new desires, old problems and new decisions, old hurts and new dreams. As we face the year ahead, help us to overcome the fears that have kept us from fullness of life. Help us to resolve the problems that have plagued us in the past.
Help us to forgive the hurts that others have caused us. Keep alive in our hearts our dreams and desires for the future, and guide us in all of our decisions. Bring us to new places of openness and love toward you and those around us, that we will be able to accept the difficult parts of our lives and to make the changes we need to make. O God of compassion, we remember those for whom Christmas this year is not a time of great joy, those who are grieving the death of a loved one, or the death of a marriage, or the death of dreams for the future, and those who are struggling to understand why bad things happen to good people, and those who are trying to cope with medical problems or age-related disabilities, and those who live in fear, and those who are alone and lonely. Bring into each life some joy and hope, that each person may feel comforted by your presence and sustained by your strength. Use us as your agents of compassion, that we might show your love through our care and concern. Gentle God, you sent the Prince of Peace to offer us an alternative vision to violence and warfare. And yet, 2,000 years later, we still haven't learned how to wage peace instead of war. O God, teach all peoples and nations your ways of peace and justice. Hasten the day when people of different nationalities and different races and different religions can live together in peace. Keep alive in our hearts your vision of peace and nonviolence, and lead us into actions that will bring that vision to reality. These prayers we bring in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We come to our time of offering, remembering the many ways in which God has blessed us. In particular, we remember God's greatest gift to us, the gift of Jesus. It is our privilege to be able to share with others from the bounty that we have received. Let us now present our tithes and our offerings unto God.
God, as we celebrate this Christmas season, grant us the courage to make peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in our homes, peace in our communities. Amen.
Over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.